sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young, and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Episode 162. Si c'était mon dernier épisode. Si c'était mon dernier, je t'aime, je te dirais SOS. Trouveras-tu la bouteille que j'ai jetée dans la Seine? Si c'était mon dernier câlin, je le donnerais à ma mère et je lui dirais que j'étais bien, que c'était aussi bien sans père. Si c'était mon dernier regard, il viserait la lune. Keep your head up. Elle qui a éclairé ma plume, éclairé mes lectures. Oh, beautiful. Si la mort venait me dire « Il ne te reste que 20 minutes », j'aurais souhaité la paix et j'aurais rappé 10 minutes.
Message!
Oh my God! Oh my God! That last verse makes me emotional every time I read it, but I'll explain. All right, I'll get to the point. I wish I had something to... You know what? I'll explain later. All right, welcome, bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. MrShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. le Grand Papa B. Ding, 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 ding. Now, before I start the show, I need to inform, especially you new listeners, that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red-blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. Excuse me. I represent and hold it down for black folks who say yes, an empathic yes to the question.
Are you an outcast?
I represent and also hold it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on Wednesday, April 3rd, 2024. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. What's that? Yeah, fuck you too. Yeah. All right, let's get this show going. Sorry, so the weather out there is I already said sorry, huh? I say sorry a lot. It's because you're Canadian. Just leave it at that. Okay. Focus, B. The weather sucks out there. It started to rain, and now that rain is turning into snow. I don't think I'm driving into work tomorrow. And what's not helping is my nose is feeling like clogged. Is not swollen, but... Let's just say I got to breathe through my mouth more than my nose. It's annoying the hell out of me. Yeah, go see the doctor? Yeah, they can't. Yeah, man. Dude can't help me. The homie didn't have any solution for me. But that's not why you came to listen to this podcast. Y'all ain't doctors. If you are, but respect. But, yeah. Okay. All right. Like, I'm remembering how I do these episodes. All right. Yeah. Hey. So, before I get on with the show, just to help you new listeners get familiarized with this podcast. I like to break down my episodes into three parts, or three acts, if you will. The first act is the intro. The second act is using random thoughts. And the last act is final thoughts. Now, in the intro, I like to do shit. Well, in the intro, so far, what I've done is I've... what you've heard so far is the theme song, followed by the title of the episode, 162, Si C'était Mon Dernier, and some rap verse, poetry, rap verse that I prefer to refer as poetry, from the rapper Ziam, and I will elaborate on why I chose that the title and his poetry in the final thought. And then finally, yeah, parental, I greeted you as an audience and said some parental advice, you know, advise the audience on the kind of podcast, kind of journey you're about to embark on. And, yeah, and that's it. And another thing I like to do in the intro is, read out some quotes or some thoughts. And the first one goes like, it's, by Dale Rendon. And it goes, when what you hear and what you see don't match, trust your eyes. I love that quote. Got me a lot of trouble growing up as Christian. That shit got me in a lot of trouble growing up as a Christian child. But that's a longer story. Who knows? One day I'll make it a final thought. And the last quote is from Toni Morrison. And she says, Sister Toni Morrison, Queen Toni Morrison says, if you are free, you need to free somebody else. If you have some power, then your job is to empower somebody else. Funny billionaires shared that philosophy, but you know, whatever. Yep, sorry, just distracted. Let me continue with, okay, sorry. I just got distracted. All right, boys and girls, that's it for intro. So let's jump to user random thoughts. Okay, all right. Let's go. Whew. Get it together, B-Black. Get it together. All right. So first item on the user random thought. I'm going to start by saying that I checked out the series three body problems. And I think I went in there expecting to not like it. A friend of mine, huge fan of the book, and was looking forward resubscribed to Netflix just to see the series. So I got curious, because she kept frequently talking about it, and the shit got me curious. And I remember watching the first episode, I'm like, I'm not feeling it. But it takes a while for me, man. It's especially that I'm easily distracted while I'm watching the show. Like, you got to do some Game of Thrones pushing a child out of the window to get my attention and be like, what the fuck is going on? So first episode didn't have that. But what I get the feeling that first episode was, if you read the book, you'd be like, oh shit, this is going to be dope. But as a non-book reader, I was like, I don't get it. And I can't remember at what point I finally... Was it episode 2? Was it 3 or 4? No, I think it was when I got to episode 3, and then my friend was, whatever. But my friend said, let me know when you're done with episode 5. So it gave me it made me want to watch the, it's like, fuck it, you're this far, might as well watch the other two episodes. And let me tell you something, man. I watched that episode 5. And I got to tell you, I made the mistake of watching that episode while high, which I should not have done, because that episode hit me, wow. Now, I'm not saying it was like Red Wedding kind of episode, but I think by the time you get to 5, the show is like, allow me to reintroduce myself. So needless to say, by 5, I was hooked. And I had 3 more episodes, and then, I had to watch a few YouTube clip to explain what the fuck I just watched. It's not that weird, but it was just, I just like to, there's a lot of, how do I say it? There's a lot of background information worth looking up. I'm just a curious person. It's just the way I am. I like, one thing a successful show does for me is you make me curious about the context of the show. So, yeah, hence the YouTube. But anyways, so all this to say that I enjoyed season one so much that I'm reading the book. Now, what fucks with me, though, what bothers me is the book I bought, which is The Three-Body Problem, apparently, homie, the author who wrote this book, wrote three books. So kind of like Songs of Ice and Fire for Game of Thrones, and how Game of Thrones is just the first book out of the five series. Oh, the fact that was written, but yeah. So, oh, this shit is a trilogy, and it's called Remembrance of Earth's Past trilogy. Now, what fucks with me is the show starts with book two, and I won't lie, I'm like, what the fuck can you possibly explain in book one that I don't already understand? In book, I'm curious. This shit just makes me curious. And, okay, I already said that it's good. Shit makes me curious, and it's, you know what? I think two things, is the friend who recommended it to me, I remember she was talking about it, but when she was talking about it, I wasn't feeling that usual curiosity to know about. Honestly, there was a curiosity, but it wasn't like usually when someone talks about something they really like, like, it sparks a curiosity in me. And it didn't in this time. Now, maybe, and this is where it shit gets different, maybe it's some little racism on my part. I'm going to confess, a little bit of racism. Because I think as soon as I heard, yeah, the author's Chinese, I'm like, boop, mute it out. Now, and this is what I mean by that. Not to say that there's no such thing as a good Chinese writer, but what fascinates me about how I got attached to this is growing up, my world was mine, Americans, mine, Haiti, mine. Like, it's as if the only two people that existed in my world, in my Inuit world, was black and white people. Sure, there were Asians, there were, yeah, but those guys were like everyone Asian, Arabs. Okay, Arabs were probably closer, but they were like background. Even though Asians and South Asians make the majority of planet Earth, like they outnumber us like a motherfucker. To me, they were just like the only history I knew was black and white people history. And when it came to European countries, the only countries I was aware of are the countries that were involved in the slave trade and Germany. And then there was Russia. Okay, I think what I'm trying to say, here's what I'm getting at, right? Getting into this book pulled me out of my element. I'm outside of my element. I remember it's kind of like the same way when I realized that I haven't read a lot of books by women authors or transgender people. Like, there's a whole world out there that I'm completely oblivious to. And getting into this three body problem. What's the author's name? Liu. Oh man, I can't pronounce that. Sixin. Yeah. Anyways, there's a whole world out there that I am not aware, and getting into this story, this new series that wasn't made by a white man or a black person with Christian names. It's like, it's outside of my, honestly, I don't think I would have, it's one of those things that when you start to take like for granted, when you're like telling yourself, fuck the world, because you're convinced that everything's the same, nothing's going to change. It's one of those things that I would have never have imagined I would have been into. You know what I mean? It's like there's like a restaurant in your neighborhood that you've never tried. You've convinced yourself it's just background. It was just something in the background. If you know, for all you know it, you might like skydiving. It's one of those, yeah, you won't know until you try type of situation. And I'm trying to say, I'm grateful. Yeah, I'm laughing at how my friend kept talking about it. And I think because when she said, you know, the author's Chinese, I was like, no way I'm going to get into that. Yeah, it's fucked up. Okay, and here's a beautiful part about it, right? So what I like about the last point I'm going to make about three body problem. Amazing show. I'm enjoying it. Looking forward to season two. No, actually, I'm looking forward to going over the fucking books because I need answers. But what really gets me is there's a scene in the show, and I'm going to say something. I know it's going to sound weird to a lot of you, but it makes sense to me, right? There's a scene where this Asian woman, this older Asian woman, okay, let me back up first. Let me give you some context. The show, the author of the book, all his characters were Chinese, right? The show, they've accommodated the show so us idiot North American, American types will be able to see ourselves in there. Like, you know, they've been, oh, okay, yeah. Like, if it was all Chinese, I think we rejected. So they had to put some white and black people in there. They got, you know, they got a black guy in there, right? And he's not comedy. I mean, yeah, he does do a few comedy. But he's actually fucking smart. He's actually like reads books and shit, right? And but that's not the fascinating part. So not fascinating part. The part that's different than that I'm used to on seeing on these TV screen. In this show, you have this older Asian woman. There's a scene where this older Asian woman looks at the black character. And she says that, yeah, my daughter always told me that she always kept saying that you were a smart person. Or she acknowledges his intelligence. And that shit, it's not that it fucked me up, but a part of me was like, whoa, this is different. Because I feel like from every TV show that I've seen, when there's an Asian and a black character, I feel like it's the first time the Asian is acknowledging the intelligence of a black man, of a black person. In my experience, it's, you know, I'm thinking of like Rush Hour. I don't know. It's as if I feel, every time I see Asian and black people on television, it's either some comedy relief shit, porn, or... but it's never like two human beings interacting. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Two human beings being fucking human beings. There was no like... And I'm not saying it's some revolution. Okay, but I mean, I don't think... I'm not sure if other people noticed that. But for me, it was... Oh, this is different. Yeah. I know. It says a lot about how... maybe it says... No, I think it might just say a lot about my own psyche. My own prejudice or my own... But I'm not used... let me put it this way. It's rare to see a TV show where a black person is recognized for their intelligence. And I don't mean like, oh, he figured out how to sell drugs, how to cook crack. But like, all this to say that I enjoyed the show. Let me get through the books and then I'll get back to you. I'm still, I noticed that I'm careful on who I recommend the show to. Because, like I said, I started out, my friend kept talking about the show and I was all ignorant about it until I watched it. I'm like, this is some different shit. And what I love too is how this is the imagination of a person on the other side of this, not on my continent, on a different continent. And it's sci-fi. It's sci-fi, but you know, it's sci-fi, but it's the imagination of someone who I rarely get their input from. Look, man, I think the bottom line I'm just going to say is how watching by the end of the Three Body Problem show, it just reminded me of the world's a bigger place. Oh, and the other thing too is, as I'm talking about humanity and all this, is because it makes you think, and I love anything, any piece of art that makes me think. It's got me thinking, and it's also got me thinking about, I'm warning you right now, maybe, who knows, maybe this version of Be Black might change, but this current version of Be Black, if there's an alien race out there, I'm on the side of the alien race. Y'all fucked, man. I'm not looking to be, like, the only thing I ask that if they do have to kill me, that it's a swift and quick death, quick and painless death, but yeah, man, you know what, and I guess while watching, it makes me think about how, yeah, my colère envers les hommes, my anger towards humankind. Anyways, I think this shit is going to send me on a journey. But I am saying, the only thing I am concerned of is I feel like this show, this book, this story might be a gateway to Scientology. I was telling a friend that about it. She goes, yeah, well, say hi to Tom Cruise. I said, well, it might be Chinese Scientology. So I said, say hi to Chinese Tom Cruise. Anyways, because there's that's what's amazing about the show is there's science. If you're a fucking nerd, you're going to love this show. There's science, and then there's aliens. But not like aliens, like visitors. Like, honestly, I don't want to say shit. I think you need to watch it yourself because I don't want to spoil it. I'm worried what would ruin the experience. All I know is I'm glad that I went in there with my mindset. The friend who recommended the show or who kept talking about the show did a good job by not giving me any details and pretty much letting me experience the whole thing by myself. But I'm converted. I'm fucking converted. Yeah. But again, if I turn into a Scientologist, it's going to be her fault. All right. Okay. The Three Body Problem. It's on Netflix. What have you. All right. You know what? That last thing that I said, yeah. Honestly, I wasn't trying to be offensive. I wasn't trying to. It was more a reflection of myself and how it's kind of like I met a friend who I took him out to take out I had a friend who I tried taking out to try a Vietnamese soup. Fuck, this idiot didn't want to try it. And I'm like, how much you're denying yourself? Oh, because he's stubborn. He was just stubborn. It's like, if I didn't cook it, then what the fuck, you know, kind of like that. And it's more like the show. It's one of those I would have never imagined I would be into that, into it. I look at the cover. I'm like, yeah, man. Nah, I mean, but it's finally. You know, I think this is the only point I'm trying to make is shout out to or toast to the saying that, you know, you don't know until you try. Holy shit. Yeah, new experience. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to celebrate new experiences. All right. Okay. All right. Now, this next is a bit of piece of news, and I could have mentioned it on the last episode, but for some reason, I told myself, I just wanted to get more details. But long story short, from what I understand, Beyonce released a new album. Now, a lot has been said, or has been is going around about her album, mainly white people being pissed about the fact that Beyonce's doing what they believe is dirt music, country music. And, yeah, what the fuck, man? It's a black chick. What's she gonna do? Country? Anyways, you know, that old stupid shit. Anyways, so, beside all that noise, there's an article that got my attention. I haven't read it yet. I'm gonna read it now. Yeah, on the show, to make sense of it. But the title goes, Beyonce slams award shows, record labels, and radio. What the fuck? After preconceived Cowboy Carter backlash. Preconceived? All right, okay. I have no idea what it is, but we're going to find out together. All right? Okay. Here we go. You're correct. My AI bot is going to read this for us, not me. Go.
Beyonce has called out all the record labels, every radio station, every awards show after facing backlash for her new country album, Cowboy Carter. The 42-year-old's foray into country music had been met with resistance from some country music fans and country music radio stations who ignored fan requests to play the songs on air.
Oh, wow.
Dukes of Hazzard actor John Schneider was also accused of racism when he compared the Crazy in Love singer's ambitions to step into the new genre to a dog marking its territory, during an interview with conservative network One America News.
What?
Black artists joining the country music scene has long been a controversial issue despite rhythm and blues, created by black musicians, having inspired the genre. Beyonce Kevin Winter Getty images for iHeartRadio. Related, 8 times female country music stars stood their ground. But on Monday, April 1st, Beyonce hit back at the criticism by telling the audience at the iHeartRadio Music Awards that the music industry needs to become more open to the joy and liberation that comes from enjoying art with no preconceived notions.
Well said, sister.
The singer-songwriter, who last month became the first black woman to reach No. 1 on the Billboard Hot Country chart with her catchy track, Texas Hold'em, appeared on stage at the Dolby Theater in Los Angeles for the show hosted by Ludacris, where she received the Innovator Award from soul legend Stevie Wonder. Beyonce receives the Innovator Award at iHeartRadio Awards Kevin Winter Getty Images for iHeartRadio. Okay. Wearing a black leather suit with a matching cowboy hat, she thanked the 25-time Grammy winner for playing the harmonica on her version of Dolly Parton's 1973 hit Jolene, which features on Cowboy Carter. Whenever anyone asks me if there's anyone that I could listen to for the rest of my life, it's always you. Whenever anyone asks me if there's anyone that I could listen to for the rest of my life, it's always you, she told him, before dedicating her award to those who have dedicated their lives and their art to creating shifts. She mentioned Sister Rosetta Tharpe, Tracy Chapman, Linda Martell, Prince, Andre 3000, nice. Tina Turner and Michael Jackson. They defied any label placed upon them. Thank you for executing your dream so we could all follow, she said. Beyonce also thanked her husband, Jay-Z, describing him as my rock, my best friend, I love you, and her 3 beautiful children who continue to be my inspiration, my biggest blessing. The mother of 3 has also given black women in the music industry, like Mickey Guyton, Kate and Michelle and Tyla, their flowers. With opportunity comes possibility. The possibilities are endless with you at Beyonce, Guyton, 40, wrote via X on Friday, March 29, alongside photos of a bouquet of white flowers and a note from Bey herself. Thank you for opening doors for me, Queen. Keep shining, the note read, signed with love and respect, from Beyonce. In 2020, Guyton became the first black female artist to be nominated for Best Country Solo Performance at the 63rd Annual Grammy Awards for her song, Black Like Me. That same year, she was the first black female artist to perform at the Academy of Country Music Awards. Related, the gifts didn't stop there, as musician Kate and Michelle also shared photos of her white flower bouquet via Instagram on Friday as well, with a similar note of support from the 16 Carriages singer. I love what you've been doing and I know it's not easy to enter a new space, Beyonce wrote to Michelle, 42. Sending you positivity and respect. I hope to meet you one day. Beyonce released Cowboy Carter on Friday. Her album features 27 tracks with features from Miley Cyrus, Post Malone, Dolly Parton, Linda Martell, and Willie Nelson.
Oh wow.
Along with original tracks, she covered Parton's Jolene and the Beatles' Blackbird. She kicked off her cowgirl era by dropping Texas Hold'em and 16 Carriages, following her Verizon commercial during Super Bowl 58. In the ad, Tony Hale challenged her to break the internet. After failing multiple times, Beyonce said, okay, they ready, drop the new music. Though Cowboy Carter is her first country album, it is the second installment of a 3-part project following the release of Renaissance in 2022.
All right, okay. I apologize. So my AI bot, if it's confusing, the AI bot also read, it reads the caption on the images. I tried to skip it, and it also reads the part where it related. And I'm adding the related, man. I'm trying to focus. And there's also a poll. So I'm not sure if that made sense to all of you, to some of you, but now I get it. But the most important part is, despite the backlash, is there's a new Beyonce album that I haven't heard yet. And I trust her to do good music, especially because on her Renaissance album, she had a country song in there. How'd it go? When like me come in town, when like me come around. I fucked up the lyrics. Okay, focus, B. Yeah, and whatever. I like that song. But my point is, that country song she has on her Renaissance album, I liked it, so I look forward to hearing it. And, shout out to, I like what you were saying is, Like, I believe that shit. Record labels, people try to put you in a category, and you're like, you know what? I'm going to try something different. Not because I'm trying to piss you off, because I want to. And good for them, man. Good for them. All right. Okay. Yeah. She looks really, she looks mighty fine in that cowboy outfit. All right. Okay. All right. So that's it for this youth. There. You learned something today. Now, let me make sure I go through my notes properly. Yeah. Okay. I don't have a, yeah. All right. All right. Okay. This next one, I'm going to play this, playing more content. So, Canadian comedian, Sabrina Douglas. Oh my God. Yeah. Sabrina Douglas. Now, I don't know her personally. I've seen her name around. I've seen her on flyers. She's from Toronto, comedian from Toronto. And she posted a set one of her set, right? Actually, I saw it on the last episode. And I remember getting emotional and I wanted to comment on it so badly, but I calmed myself down and I waited for this episode to talk about it. So I'm not going to play it because here's the thing. It's something that I'm familiar with. I'm not going to play the set, even though it's funny, but the link to it is in the show notes. I titled it just to make sure. Look for the in news and random thought section. Look for the one that says Sabrina Douglas. White guy got so upset at my racism joke. All right. So, long story short, she made this. She was making a joke about. I'm not gonna spoil the joke, but it involves racism. It's a joke that. Barbershop, whatever. Black people would have connected to it. Now, and this has happened to me before. This is why I'm emotional. At some point, a white person yells out, completely forgets his fucking comedy club. This asshole wants to, I'm going to say asshole. I don't care. I don't know him personally. I'm risking the chance that I might cross paths with this person. But I say asshole the same way I would call a heckler an asshole. I'm sure Jesus loves you, but you're heckling my set, you're an asshole. This is a unique kind of heckling. It's more like, so she makes her joke, laughs and everything like that, and she noticed that this white guy in the audience is frowning. And he goes, hey, you sound upside on my joke. And he's like, I can't believe that there are people out there who still don't know how to treat black people. Some stupid shit like that. Basically, the idea is they're incredulous. Again, I'm very familiar with this. White people who are like shocked, surprised at racism. Shocked, surprised that their fellow whites behave in such manner. You know what? It's to a point when the way they explain it, it's like, yo, I think you're lying to me. Like, you can tell this is a white person who has no black friends. And when the smallest hint of any racism freaks them the fuck out. This can't be possible. It's equivalent to, I was making a joke on stage about, and I was raw. I'm saying this joke like I'm talking to another black person. And I think the joke was how I was in Cuba. And sorry, I'm making my own self laugh. I was in Cuba, and I was in Cuba, and because there was all kinds of Canadian, I was feeling all patriotic. Like, oh shit, man! Oh yeah, and I was practicing my Spanish with these Canadians. Hola, hola, hola. You know what I mean? And then I said something like the angry black guy. I was like feeling good about myself, and then the angry black guy. When I say angry black guy, it's equivalent to saying. My negative voice kicked in. It's like, I wonder if these motherfuckers think you're staff. They don't see me as Canadian. They think that I'm a staff member speaking Spanish to them. Anyway, that's the joke. I must have used the N-word at some point. But all I know is I'm flowing with my joke. And I say the N-word, and then this white lady, gets the race, white lady in the audience is like, oh my God! Someone said the N-word. It's like, bitch, that's not the fucking joke. You're fucking up my flow. It's okay. it's annoying as okay. It's annoying as fuck. It's annoying as fuck because one, it's these white people who are unfamiliar with racism. In their mind, racism bothers their soul. At least that's the performance. And I gotta be honest with you, man. That white dude who yelled that, I can't believe there are still white people out there who don't get it. I feel like saying to this asshole, I say, dude, you making that declaration, you yelling this, you interrupting this fucking set to say that shit does not make you a better person. I know you believe it does. I can't believe that such racism, like this happened to me. I can't believe, sorry, I'm having flashbacks. You can see this is why I'm getting emotional. I'm thinking of a manager who I was, someone I used to work with, and I was fed up with the racism that I was dealing at work, and I was telling them, and I stood split for him, told him about the racism shit, and then it turned into I'm telling all my career path and how racism has been a fucking pain in my fucking ass, and I hate when this one dude said I told him about how this one French Canadian manager used a racist expression to say don't worry, you're not gonna be anyone's bitch anymore. There's a French-Canadian expression, to another way of saying you're not going to be someone's bitch, you're not going to be someone else's nigger. Yeah, full on said that shit. And homie's like, oh, I've never heard that expression. Yeah, really, buddy? Really? Really, you never heard that expression? I'm the one who taught you this shit. You know, it's like, I was never aware of all this racism. It drives me nuts. So, back to my point, you acting incredulous to racism does not make you a better person. As a matter of fact, I'd rather deal with the white person who's fully versed in racism. Oh yeah, porch monkey. Yeah, no. When I see you, nigger, I see a goddamn porch monkey. I'd rather deal with that white boy than deal with, whoa, I've never heard porch monkey. What does that mean? People actually call you porch monkey? They don't call you nigger, they call you porch monkey? Oh my God, I didn't think it. Like, this is the one. I think it's a Canadian thing, or no, maybe a white person thing, but I'm going to claim it's a Canadian thing. Canadian white people thing. As long as I'm ignorant of the fact that it's racist, then it's not racist. Porch monkey is racist? Oh, I had no idea. I guess I need to stop calling you a porch monkey, you porch monkey. Anyway, yeah. Yeah, I think I'm saying I'd rather deal with the white person who's fully aware which side of the battlefield he's on, he or she's on, than the one who's like, whoa, no, I'm cool with the blacks, all right? Like this one time, I was about to call a black a nigger, but I told myself, no, niggers don't like being called niggers. So I didn't call him nigger, I just called him a black. You know, like blissfully, it's exactly what the what's that saying that goes, hey, look, man, if black people can experience racism, you can fucking learn about it. This whole, I didn't know this racist thing happened. I can't be racist because I was never aware of this racism. See, the thought of being racist doesn't cross my mind. I really like the fact that I made this a segment. I'm looking at the time. Yeah, I could go on, but if I'm going on, I'm actually going off script. I didn't have a script, but I am. What you're hearing now is sheer emotion. It's boiling lava of anger, frustration, all the above. Now I get it. It's not the words you should be listening to. It's the emotions you should be feeling. That's what I'm trying to communicate. Maybe there's better ways to do this, but okay. What's my point here? I feel like I had another point. Oh, yes. And this, her set, Sabrina Douglas set, reminds me of why I start the show with This podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Red, black, and the green is my way of saying this is a black podcast. This is a safe space for black folks. What kind of black folks? Black folks like me. Black folks from Ottawa combined with a Haitian background. It's a safe space. Like, I'm going to talk about shit that usually makes me an outcast, but if you're cool, it's going to be a learning experience. It's also my way of saying I will not be factoring in white fragility. I do that shit at work. I'm imprisoned by that shit, but not on this goddamn, on this podcast, nah, man. I'm my natural black, red, blue self. And then I, you know, the cherry on the top is, if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too. F Whitey. Yeah, I think that set by Sabrina reminded me of, okay, that's one of the reasons why I hate performing in Ottawa. Because white people don't get it. White people will make racism all about themselves. Will make the whole, instead of just shutting the fuck up and listening, just. Anyways, we can end on a positive. One thing I give props to Sabrina Douglas, sister, the way she handled that set. and I think, and I can tell she was just on. I won't be surprised she was feeling what I was feeling, but fuck it. You know what I mean? It's like, yo, this is, I'm from Canada. I'm used to white people. I'm used to white people being awkward and stupid and ignorant. So anyway, she navigated through that shit. It's like, yo, I don't think, even if that shit was rehearsed, she couldn't have done any better than that. I'm not saying it was rehearsed. I'm saying the way she handled it was like, I liked it. I loved it. Like, I mean, I loved it. I'm thinking if it had it been me, would I be high-fiving myself or would I be like, no, you should have like cracked a Heineken bottle on his head. You see, and here's the thing. I know that white person did not mean to be an idiot, did not mean to be an ass. Like, I understand, trust me, I do get it. It was not their intention. There's a lot of white people who are trying to figure this racism shit out, how to go about it. And unfortunately, their parents set them up for failure. They weren't taught anything. They weren't, yeah, so. And that white person's best attempt at being, that was their best attempt at, yo, I ain't down with this racism shit. Their attempt was by saying, wow, oh my God, I don't believe people are like that. See, this is me giving a white man the benefit of the doubt. But, yeah, man, it's like, dude, learn to shut the fuck up. You know what I mean? Sorry, I'm thinking of that police officer. Move out the way. Move out the fuck. How did she say it again? You guys don't know what I'm talking about. There's a clip of this police officer who got suspended because she was talking about how she's a cop. You know what? I'm not gonna play it. But my point is just shut the fuck up. Black people, white people, you're hearing a black comedian talk that black shit. Shut the fuck up, man. Just shut the fuck up. You know, wait till the end of the show to ask your question to your black friend. Oh, that's right. You don't have any black friend. And then to get on Reddit or whatever, some black profile, say, what does it mean when a black person complains about not having enough fried chicken in the restaurant? You know, whatever the fuck. Okay, all right, that's it. Man, I feel better. I actually feel better. Yo, this shit was therapeutic. Here's hoping this shit doesn't bite me in the ass. I'm the executive producer of Just for Laughs. Oh, there's no Just for Laughs. Just for Laughs Part 2, and I heard what you said about me, and go fuck yourself. You'll never perform in this country ever again. Ah, oh, nigga. All right. Okay. Okay, I'm having a good time. We're having a good time, guys. Oh, man, sorry. I did not mean to bite that comedian. Fuck, what's his name? I love his catchphrase. Okay, I'm going to say comedian. I'm going to give him props because I don't want to sound like I'm stealing his shit. Comedian, we're having a good time. I love that catchphrase. And it's by, oh, Why is it taking so long for you to load? What the fuck? Why is it taking you so long to load? Dude, I got shit to do. Oh, did I lose internet connection? Oh, thank you. Dusty Slay. Oh my God, that's his name. I got to Google to use Google to represent hear people's name. All right, okay. Yeah, Dusty Slay. He's got this catchphrase where he keeps saying, we're having a good time. I think it's one of the cleverest. He said it, not me. I'm acknowledging it. I said it on this podcast, but I want to be clear. I'm not. I wish I could be that clever. All right, okay. Last but not least, and this is, I labeled this one under as something Lizzo said recently. It's very important because Lizzo's been in, was in the news. And I should acknowledge on this podcast, yeah, there is no, what's the word? No disrespect or no hatred. Basically, Lizzo is queen, all right? If Lizzo wants to be on this podcast, holy fuck. I'm canceling everything for it to be. My point is, yeah, I have high regards for Lizzo. And talking shit about Lizzo is not accepted on this podcast. I don't care about Jesus. Okay, here we go. All right, so Lizzo's been in news. And you know what? I'm just going to play this clip where she clarifies something that she said. Something that she recently said. She's going to clarify something. But at the same time, this thought is going to be a segue to the final thought. So here we go. All right. So take it away, Sister Lizzo.
I want to make this video because I just need to clarify. When I say I quit, I mean, I quit giving any negative energy attention. Mm-hmm. What I'm not going to quit is the joy of my life, which is making music, which is connecting to people. Because I know I'm not alone. Really? In no way, shape, or form am I the only person who is experiencing that negative voice that seems to be louder than the positive.
I hear that.
If I can just give one person the inspiration or motivation to stand up for themselves and say they quit letting negative people win, negative comments win, then I've done even more than I could have hoped for. With that being said, I'm going to keep moving forward. I'm going to keep being me. Once again, I just want to say thank you. The love that I've received, whew, means more than you know.
All right. Get off your seat. Yes, I get it. No, trust me, I get it. And this is why I have such a high regard for Lizzo, is because she's fighting a good fight. She's fighting a fight that a lot of people in this world don't seem to understand. She is representing and holding it down for people like me. What's a people like me? People who like me who didn't know self-love, self-acceptance was okay. Was a thing, was allowed. She is celebrating the human being. She's celebrating her existence in a world that's like, nah, you shouldn't be. Someone like you shouldn't be happy. Move out the way for other people. You're not allowed to take up space. A lot of people don't. Okay, you know what? I was gonna say, a lot of people don't understand that. But the more I think about it, those people don't matter, shouldn't matter. If you're like me, you grew up with, surrounded by people who didn't know themselves, who kept chasing an image of who they should be, and put that on you too. There's a clip of this woman who's like, eating with her friends. I think they're at a barbecue / cookout, whatever. She's got food. And she's pointing at this other black girl. And she's, black girl's plate. She says, yeah, man, something's wrong with your plate. Low vibration. I would never get a plate like that. I would never, blah, blah, blah. And this girl is eating it up. You know what? You're right. And I'm looking at her plate. I'm like, what the fuck's wrong with her plate? It's fucking, what the fuck are we talking about? She kept using the word low vibration. She was eating it up. I was that girl. Like that girl who was like, okay, life is about finding a mentor, finding someone who is greater than you, and worshiping them. Just worshiping them. Like, I was that person. Find someone, and that person, and trust me, usually these people are narcissists, and they'll tell you, no, it's constructive criticism. No. They're assholes. They're a piece of shit. The way they survive is by, the only way they can come up is by stepping on someone else, by having someone. So I grew up with that mindset that, yeah, people like me were meant to be seen, not heard, heard, not seen. Shut the fuck up. Move out of important people's way. Move out of the way of people who are better than you. So I didn't have the concept of, again, self-acceptance, self looking in the mirror and being able to say, I like what I see, and believing it. That's like foreign to me. Like, all that shit is broken for me. Like, I'm 49 years old fixing that shit, working on it. And then you got women like Lizzo, people, heroes like Lizzo's, the Lizzo's of the world, who are like, their mission is, they're on a journey to self-love. And she's not out there saying, hey, asshole, you need to love yourself like I do. No, I'm doing it right now while dealing with all these fucking haters out there. While dealing with the storms of people who don't even like them own selves. And take it out on people like me. Or us. You know, it's interesting. Like, as much as I'm mad at these people, it's like I used to be part of their ecosystem. It's kind of like there was a time where I needed these haters, these negative people, to be out there to be like, something is wrong with you. Like, that's my norm. That used to be my normal. So to her point about not giving negative energy attention to quitting, what's the actual word she used? She said,
I want to make this video because I just need to clarify. When I say I quit, I mean, I quit giving any negative energy attention.
Okay. Yeah. See, and that's what I was trying to explain is how sure I can talk shit about all these people who create this negative energy. But on the other end, I kind of was addicted to that shit. And what I like about what she's saying, I quit giving negative. Exactly. I kind of fed some of these people. It's like a, you know, it's to the point that, yeah, it's amazing. On one end, I attracted that negative energy. I seek that negative energy, addicted to it, but I also feared it too. Yeah, no, it's not that I feared it. So me doing this podcast or doing comedy is my defiance. It's me trying to say, it's fighting back against that negative energy. Problem is, it's been a challenge because it's funny. You want it, you don't want it, because you don't want to obey it. And there's a big, I've been trying to do this podcast and trying to navigate around that negative energy. And I'm realizing that, nah, man, I just gotta go toe-to-toe against it like Lizzo is doing. For example, right now, she is, as she's saying this message, you can tell that I'm into her message because I should be focused on her fucking bathing suit right now. That's showing all the good parts about her body. Like, that's, you know, and she's a pretty woman. I'm surprised that I'm not focused on that. I'm like, damn, okay, this podcast is over. I need to objectify this woman. But the fact that she's saying that while wearing this bathing suit, while wearing an outfit that she knows the fucking haters are just like, oh my God, what's a woman like you doing wearing a suit like that? Because I can, motherfucker. Yeah. Anyway, I'm trying to say is, I'm kind of hoping Lizzo ends up with 3 dragons because I will join your army. I will, what's the word? I will vow my sword. I will My sword is yours. Sorry, that sounded a little creepy. That sounded a lot of perverted. I will join the fight, the war, to get you sitting on the Iron Throne. That's what I'm trying to say. Right. And which is why, on this podcast, we have nothing but love and respect for Lizzo. All right. If you ain't down with Lizzo, then fuck you too. All right, okay. Yeah, that's it. That's it for News and Random Thoughts. I purposely kept it, light on. You know what? I'm realizing that it's not about the whole quantity versus quality. Because I can talk my ass off over one topic. And what are we, 11:55? 55 minutes in the show? Yeah, okay. All right, that's it, gang. That's it. Okay, let's jump to final thoughts. And we get to end another podcast. Put this podcast in the books. All right, let's go. All right. Okay, like I said, that thought by Lizzo is a segue to final thoughts. And let me see how I'm going to do this, because this is going to be a challenge. I'm nervous about my execution, because today's thought is so deep that I ended up putting it on paper. And what I'm going to, I wrote it down, and I reread it before the episode. So let's see if I make a miracle here. Okay. First, let me start out by saying that today's episode was inspired by that feeling. Let me rephrase that. That feeling of wanting to quit something inspired this final thought, today's final thought. While I was publishing the last episode, I remember there's a thought that came over me of fuck. We're going to have to do this shit again on Wednesday. Fuck. I don't want to do... Fuck. Don't want to do this again. I'm tired. I hate this. What's the point? You know, all the... Like, my... What do you call that guy? What do you call that guy? Not critical mind. I used to call him Massa. Oh, my God. What's that technical word for that negative voice that comes in? The chatterbox? Is that it? The chatterbox? Let me see if... God damn it, B. Okay, hold on a second. It's called... I'm trying to do a chatterbox. Nope, that's not it. Oh, wait. Is it it? Oh my God. I hate when you're trying to see the definition of a person, especially a child who talks a lot. No, that's not it. It's driving me nuts that I don't know this word. I am sure you know what I'm talking about, but basically the negative self-talk. That's what I'm... Another word for... negative self-talk. And what's the word for negative self-talk? Favorably, bad mouth. No, self-talk. Okay, all right. For the sake of conversation, I think I'm going to go with the chatterbox. That negative chatterbox. You know what I'm talking about. That voice when you're trying to do something. I want to call it adversity, but it's like it brings you down. It's like, oh, wow. Do you need the stove on? You're an idiot. Oh, you suck. Oh, my God. Oh, really? You think that's what? I am your conscience. Yeah, that voice. Man, you know what I'm talking about. You're trying to get some girl's digits. I know you kids don't say digits anymore, right? You're trying to get some girl's digits because you're trying to slap some skins. You're trying to knock them boots. And you go to drop some, spit game at this woman. And then your negative self-talk just kicks in. Anyways, my negative self-talk after the last episode, while publishing the last episode, was working overtime. Now, don't get me wrong. It's always working. Every time I publish an episode, it's like going off. But last episode, That shit was on steroids. And the thought of quitting crossed my mind. And I remember, was it Monday or was it Tuesday? Today's Tuesday. No, yes, today's Wednesday. Fuck it, okay. It must have been yesterday. Trying to figure out what today's final thought / title is going to be about. And it hit me. I'm like, oh, really, B? You're going to really disregard that moment where you actually considered quitting podcast? Like, you wanted to quit doing the podcast? What are we, episode 160? Oh, wow. Hey, hold on a second. Let me do a quick pat on the back here. I believe I'm an episode further do I have the image? I believe I'm an episode further than the Old Testament. For those of you unfamiliar to this podcast, just, you know, I rebooted Shut Up Podcast, and the reboot is called the New Testament. The Old Testament, yeah. I think I ended on episode 163 or four, whatever. But my point is, I remember I stopped podcasting. Years went by. I was still paying for my web hosting and all that shit because I kept telling myself, I'll get back to it. And wasn't doing anything with the podcast. And it's only after therapy that I'm like, yeah, I'm bringing back this podcast. And I ended up calling this new edition the New Testament edition. And what's interesting is how the thought of quitting crossed my mind. So, said all this, and I don't know what came over me. You know what? It's funny is how I think I'm getting back into spirituality, where these coincidences in your life happens. Now, you want to call it coincidence, but the spiritual in me is like, yo, the universe is talking to me. The ancestors are talking to me. I stopped praying to Jesus because Jesus just felt like a white slave master. But the nice one. Sorry, that doesn't matter. I'm going to go into detail. But now I'm like, the ancestors, the universe. I'm still figuring out. I'm not sure. Working out that relationship. Maybe it doesn't matter. But the point is, something told me to listen to the rap song, Si C'était Le Dernier. Now, I'm going to pretend that some of you don't speak French, so I'm just going to say it translates to If This Was My Last. I was listening to the song, and I remember there's a line where she says, the verse, J'écris ce titre comme la fin, comme une fin de carrière. Translation, I'm writing the title of this rap song, I'm writing it like it's the end of my career. And that shit had me thinking, yo, well, first of all, I gotta say, the whole track is dope. Now, I'm not going to say I haven't heard an English rap song that deep. Yeah, no, I'm going to say that. I'm not saying they don't. I think what I'm not going to say, it's not out there. But I am going to say when it comes to deep lyrics, most of the time. Okay, I was going to say most of the time it's in French rap. No, that's not fair. English rap, English hip hop too. When I say English, I mean American made. But French hip hop's got a lot of rap song with very deep verse. So verse that has me thinking. Anyway, so when I heard that part, it had me thinking about it combined how, okay, B, it reminded me of, it's kind of too early to quit, B. Because the only time I will allow you to quit if it's the end of your career. And when it comes to Shut Up Podcast, nah. Now, it doesn't help. What I did realize is what doesn't help, part of that wanting to quit feeling, is the realization that I don't have a destination for this. I haven't figured out my destination. Where am I going with this shit? I mean, I have a vague image, but it's not a clear image. For example, see, I'm realizing I'm not a quitter. If I have to drive to Montreal, Toronto, out of town, whatever, that I don't quit. I have never planned a trip, got into my car, and got halfway there and said, you know, fuck it, I changed my mind, I'm not going anymore. It's either I do it or I don't. Now, I say this while knowing that I have frequently, very frequently, started projects and not finish it. There's a lot, there's books I started, didn't finish. There's a lot of projects, gym regimen, all kinds of things. Look, I'm a fucking expert on quitting. Matter of fact, if I had to do a TED talk on quitting, I'd be in a fucking, like, so what I'm saying, when that feeling came up of quitting, I'm like, yeah, I'm familiar with it. I've been there before. So what you're going to do is you're going to quit and then you're going to hate yourself for doing so. So I'm 49 years old and I'm like, now I'm like more mindful of being careful of not starting something of not that I'm not going to finish. Cause I have a track record long. Yeah, fuck it. I can brag about the shit that I started and not finish. I've been there before and I'm very familiar with it and I'm kind of tired of it. Side fact is I'm trying to join a gym. And I remember telling the guy, and I'm like, yo, I've been here already, man. I'm trying to sign up. Yeah, the person who was taking the information, the salesperson, whatever, very smart to not talk too much. I remember saying, look, man, this sounds all dandy and grip, but I've been here before. I don't want to sign up and then get all energized and then the next thing you know, I'm donating money to your organization. I'm pretty much, my membership is I'm just paying so you assholes can keep the doors open because I'm never using the equipment. I don't want to do that again. And he was smart by keeping quiet. But he knows, he's like, oh, this is not going to happen this time. Ah, well done, sir. I'm very mindful now of not starting something that I'm not going to finish. Oh, shit. Okay, granted, there's a lot of audiobooks that I've downloaded. But whatever. I'm not a perfect human being. I'm working on it. Anyway, so all this to say, when that feeling popped up of, it was a brief feeling. Probably even not worth taking seriously, but I ended up making a whole episode about, a whole final thought about it. I remember feeling that thing of wanting to quit. So I need to work on solidifying my destination for this podcast. Now, I'm going to speak right now like, fuck it, man. You're stuck here with me, man. If you got to leave, you got to leave. If you want to end this stuff, okay, do your thing. But I'm going to keep talking. Usually I'm mindful of people's time, but at this point, I'm going to be selfish. And hope you can connect to what I'm saying. So one of my problem is in trying to define this a destination, an end game, a goal for this podcast. There's a line where in Ziam in her song, she says, réclamer des millions d'euros, réclamer des wo yo yo yo. And I'll translate. It's like, basically, are you doing this show for so you can get millions of euro, which is, you know, a shitload of Canadian dollars if you do the conversion. It's a shitload of American dollars too. Fuck that, man. Europe's got us beat. Anyway, so it's either, am I doing this shit for money or am I doing it for the fame? And here's my problem. As I'm trying to define a path for this thing is, I can't make it as simple as money, cars, and big booty hoes. You know what I mean? Like the usual shit. Fame and fortune. Like ideally, no, that'd be great. That'd be great if this destination of this podcast was fame and fortune. But the thing is, for someone like me, that shit is not really motivating. It's more like focusing on fame and fortune is like, would be like me focusing on porn. I mean, I'll jerk off to it, but I'm not actually believing it's going to happen. Fame and fortune is not as much as I want it. As much as if you told me, yo, B, You follow these steps, and within 6 weeks, fame and fortune, you'll have it. That bad bitch, I mean, what is that Memphis Bleak line says? I used to think Bleak with the baddest bitch. Now the baddest bitch is the average bitch. Like all my fame and fortune to the point where all my insecurities are like, not insecurities, but like egotistical. Like I am a living god. That shit, it's not a motivator for me. I want it. Don't get me wrong. I want it. But like I want it like I want to reenact the scene in a porn flick. Okay. But it's not actually, it's not really, it's weird for me to say, you know, shout out to Beam 49, because I'm not self-aware. I'm saying I fucking want it, but it's not a motivator. It's not something that wakes me up out of bed because I'm constantly being, it's not going to happen. If white Jesus were to come down, I said, look, bro, by episode 1000, big booty bitches, cars, big booty, all of it. It's a motive. It's it's not enough to, because I'm listening to myself because I'm like, I want it. But it's not a motivator, not because that I don't want it. It's more I don't. It's not an end game. I guess that's what I'm trying. It's not a realistic end game. It's not really a motive. I'll tell you what. Look, here's one way I could look at it. Is you can think about it, right? Is this analogy, right? If there was a plank wood. Ah, shit. I've been talking a lot. Sorry, batteries in my headphones are dying. You know, what was I thinking getting noise canceling headphones? All right, okay. If there was a plank between a board, right? Between here, let's say. I'm trying to measure a distance. 5 meters away, right? Okay, that's a bad example. I'll think of a different analogy. Think of the scariest thing in the world. And what would motivate you to confront the thing that scares you the most? Now, I can picture a mother saying, if that's my crying child on the other side, yeah, I'm going through flames. I'm going through the storm. To get to my, I can see that be like, yeah, I can see that being a motivator. That's a motivator. So, I'm saying fame and fortune won't work for me, partly because, not because I don't want it, but more because I don't believe it. It's, yeah, man. Okay, the best way I can explain it. Remember Neo in the Matrix, movie Matrix? Where telling him, you're the one, didn't work for him. It wasn't a motivator. What motivated him was being in a situation where like, oh shit, if I don't do this, homie's gonna die. You know, shout out to Neo, you know, as a white man, coming to help a black man like that. Sorry, I'm being a dick. I'm saying it's on white people's nature. Yeah, black man as a mentor. All right, okay, sorry. Okay, all right. Remember that scene in The Matrix where it didn't work? The Oracle knew that if she told Neo, yeah, you're the one, dude. You're going to have to figure it out. It didn't work for him. He didn't believe it. Whatever, that's too egotistical. It's like that wasn't a motivator for him. But when he was put in a situation where you don't do this, this nigga's going to die. And for some reason, he was like, yo, okay, I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know. All I know is I need to do it. I'll figure it the fuck out. I'll go out, die trying. I fucking love that scene because I believe it's something too. I believe that I could save him. What was that line again? I believe that I'm the only one who could save him. Okay, I'll look up because okay, I'm trying to factor in your time. I believe it's something too. Oh, shit. Okay. Fuck, I had recorded it. Anyways, you know what I'm talking about. You know what, B? Fuck it, man. It's your podcast. Hold on a second. I'm looking up that goddamn scene. Hold on, bear with me. He goes, what's that scene called? God damn it. Why aren't you working with me? Cooperate. Cooperate, you motherfucker. Okay, Matrix. Neo. No. I believe. Not I'm beginning to believe. Is that the one? No. I believe you could go to hell. Okay, I think this is the scene. I believe this is the scene. I hope this is it. Here we go. Is this it? I believe you could go to hell. All right. Okay, yeah. Okay, this is it. Okay. No, that's not it.
What are you doing?
What are you doing? Okay. Fuck, it's that scene right before Trinity tells me to go to hell. Oh, shit. As I wait for this shit to load on my slow podcast. Yeah, at this point, this shit is self-therapy. Sorry, I just saw a picture of Pam. And I'm easily distracted, folks. I really appreciate your patience on this shit. What is that scene? Not that one. What's the scene before? Morpheus believes in something. Fuck. No, not that one. Oh, my God. Okay, looks like we're not going to be able to find it. I had it, too. Nope, not that one. Pause this thing. Well, you would think it'd be in the related. Okay. Neo. Morpheus. Believed. In. Something. True meaning. That's not it. That's not it. I believe I can bring him back. That's the quote. Yes. All right. Come on, TikTok. There we go. Okay, there we go. This can't be happening. I fucking love this thing. Yes. There we go. So Morpheus is staring at...
Morpheus, you're more than a leader to us. You're our father.
You're a father.
We miss you always.
Okay, pause. They're getting ready to unplug... They're getting ready to kill Morpheus, right? And then Neo's looking at this shit going, wait a minute, how the shit... Or the Oracle told me this shit would happen. But Oracle didn't say, hey, you could save the situation. She only said, you're going to have to choose between saving your own life or saving his. I fucking love it. She didn't say, you're going to be a star. You're the one. She says, no, you're going to have to make a decision. It's a long-ass setup.
Stop.
Right there. Stop.
I don't believe this is happening.
Don't believe
this. Neo, this has to be done.
Does it? I don't know. This can't be just coincidence. It can't be.
What are you talking about?
The Oracle. She told me this would happen. She told me...
I would have to make a
that
choice.
That I would have to make a choice.
What choice? What are you doing?
I'm going in.
No, you're not.
I have to.
Neo, Morpheus sacrificed himself so that we could get you out. There is no way that you're going back in.
Morpheus did what he did because he believed that I'm something I'm not.
What?
I'm not the one, Trinity. The Oracle hit me with that, too.
No, you have to be.
I'm sorry, I'm not. I'm just another guy.
No, Neo, that's not true. It can't be true.
Why?
Neo, this is Loco. They've got Morpheus in a military-controlled building. Even if you somehow got inside, those are agents holding him. Three of them. I want Morpheus back too, but what you're talking about is suicide.
I know that's what it looks like, but it's not. I can't explain to you why it's not.
I can't explain to you what it's like.
Morpheus believed something, and he was ready to give his life for what he believed. I understand that now. That's why I have to go.
Why?
Because I believe something.
What?
I believe I can
get him
back.
Oh, bra, 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 bra. that belief. All right, let's get back to what I was saying. All right. So all this to say, I need to figure out an end game, but it can't be fame and fortune or whatever comes with having a popular, well-known, well-respected, the kind of podcast that makes people say, this motherfucker's a genius. Give you the props that you've been seeking your whole life. That can't be my end game. That can't be my destination. All I know is it's still too early for me to quit. I know that my end is, I think part of my end game is figuring out my end game. That's what it is. That's why it's too early. That's why, bottom line, I ain't gonna preach to you on don't quit, you know, shit like that. The reason why I can't quit is it still feels too early to quit. That's the one thing I know for a fact. I don't know if this podcast is going to go anywhere, but I do know that right now it's too early for me. I need to figure it out. I need to figure out how far I could go with this shit. One thing I'm going to do, right, and I recommend, like, if you find yourself wanting to quit, same goes for a gym or whatever. I'm giving you, again, preaching what I practice here. I might switch things up. Like, in this particular case, I'm, as you can tell, I am, like, I'm taking my time. I'm like, what is it? I'm going over right now. I'm breaking a lot of rules, shit that I'm violating a lot of. Like, I'm speaking while I have images of a lot of people going, oh, this nigga's tough. What the fuck is he? I'm lost. And just hitting stop. I'm just speaking, not for the sake of speaking my mind right now. I'm not holding back. Another thing I did differently is how I started with a rap song that's in French. And I chose to just explain it to you. Oh, I forgot to explain the verse to you. You know, I'll do that after. Actually, I'll tell you what. I'll find the link to this. Oh my God, it's late. I'll find the link to this. There's a translated version of that song. Si c'était le dernier. But, you know, goddamn, learn English. Learn French, people. All right. Sorry. Learn French like I should learn some other language. So what I'm saying is I'm going to switch shit up, surprise myself, just to keep things excited, keep the marriage excited, you know. Yeah, I guess it's like a marriage. And I'm going to start, you know, buying this chick more flowers or something like that. This chick is the podcast, I guess. I got to switch it up just to keep things excited because last episode I found myself feeling a little bored. And I can't continue on like that. So switch things up. Don't say shit that you're not going to do, B. At the very least, at the very least, I would like for this podcast, the next milestone for this podcast is for it to be around when I get back into comedy. I need those two to be around. Like, I can't, until I get back into comedy, yeah, sorry, you can't quit. And also, get some shit on, until I get the video portion going. Like, there's still a next level I need to get to. And I'm reminding myself about to, like, A, getting back into comedy, B, getting on TikTok, and C, YouTube. Like, I need to do a video, audio video. Maybe at that point, then we'll get back to thinking about quitting. But until you can get to that point, until that milestone, yeah, you can't quit, B. I mean, if you die, okay, that's a different story. Here's one last point is what I love. No, okay, two last points. First one is on the album where the song Si c'était le dernier is called SOS. And it made me think about how every episode I put out is actually an SOS. Not that I'm saving my soul, but it does feel like it's a message in a bottle. And I'm throwing out in the ocean, hoping, chance in a million, that someone on the other side will read it, will receive it, and be like, oh, and respond to it. Now, sure, maybe I should get on a dating app. Maybe that's a bit. But I am trying to form a connection with human beings who think like me, similar thought, not are like me, but have similar like. knows where the fuck I'm going with this. Hear this shit, I'm like, yo, holy fuck. Yo, that was cool the way you went about it. I would have went about it differently, but I understand what you... That's what it is. Stephen, R.I.P. Stephen Covey, he talks about how the greatest hunger in the human soul is to be understood. That's what it is. Because in the world I grew up with, I'm surrounded by people who are like, what the fuck is this nigga talking about? And I haven't figured out how to find like-minded. I'm willing to admit, probably another reason why I would end this podcast, is realizing there's a better way to go about what I'm trying to do. Maybe put out an ad in the paper looking for a fellow like-minded people. By the way, if you listen to this podcast, I would, encourage you to just say, respond back and say, ping, or hello, simple message. You know what? No, don't have to say anything. Just hit reply with the word ping, or ping back. Yeah, ping back. There we go. I don't need to know whether you like the episode, whether you like these podcasts, but just, I would interpret that as, I hear you. It's your way of saying, I hear you. Agree, whether you agree or not, but at the very fundamental, I hear you, what you're trying to say. I don't want no pity ping, don't get me wrong. But more like, I get it. I may not agree with what you're saying, but I get it. Simple message like that. All right, I said SOS. So in another reason I understand that there's something positive about this podcast, why I keep going, is because in her rap song, the last two verse in that song by Xiam. By the way, it's a 10-minute song, by the way, guys. So there's a reason why I didn't recite the whole thing. And it's 10-minute song. So I'm breaking bits and pieces about it, right? But the last two verses of the song, she goes, Et si la mort venait me dire, il ne te reste 20 minutes, j'aurais souhaité la paix, et j'aurais rapide 10 minutes. Yo. Most powerful part of the song, I'll try and just, she says, if death were to come up and say, yo, you got 20 minutes left. She said, I would wish you all peace. No, I would, j'aurais souhaité la paix. I would wish, I guess that could be interpreted as, I would wish you all peace, wish this world peace, and then I'd rap for 10 minutes. When I started this podcast, the time between when I started my first episode, Straight Out of Therapy, and being in therapy, had you asked me if death knocked on my door and said, yo, you got 20 minutes left. 20 minutes. I don't want to hear shit. You know how all people would say, well, I would spend it with my family, friends, and stuff like that? Nope, not me, right? The way I felt back then, I would have been like, yo, it's about fucking time. I'm getting high. I would find all the drugs I could find, get me to a state of fucked up obliviousness, and then basically I would go out high. Not saying bye to anyone. I don't give a fuck. Just bye. Today, I believe it's kind of progress. I would wish you all peace. Nah, y'all could go to hell. I would podcast for 10 minutes, and then I'd use the next 10 minutes to get high. Granted, that 10-minute podcast might just be me being like, your life is unfair. Fuck y'all, nigga. Me crying for 10 minutes. It wouldn't be a great episode, but it'd be like 10 minutes. Just speak my mind and then talk about, I got this drug. I got, I got this, I think it's called phenamine, whatever. I got this. I'm going to get fucked up tonight. I'm going out with my brain fried, like, scientists, by the time that the coroner shows up, a scientist showed up, it's like, yeah, there's one brain cell left. I'm saying it's progress. Before, I would have spent 20 minutes getting high. I'm saying 10 minutes to podcast, 10 minutes to get high. Fuck you, don't judge me. All right, okay. Oh, the last reason why I can't quit this podcast. Okay, I know I said that. Last reason. Because I ain't got shit else to do, folks. I got to be honest with you, man. I got my job, and I ain't got shit else to do. It's sad. Well, it is what it is, man. I ain't got, what the fuck else you going to do? There's only so much Law and Order you can watch. Anyway, all right. Okay, that's it. All right, okay. Now, before I leave, I'm going to Last part is I extracted from her song, dope ass song, right? I pulled out some verses that that really got my attention out of this 10-minute song. I'm just going to repeat a few that I really like and translate it for you. It goes, je suis venu, j'ai vaincu, puis j'ai fait la marche arrière. I like that. So basically it's the same as saying, I came, I saw, I conquered, and then I walked back. I took a step back. Another one, she goes, s'il était mon dernier morceau, j'aimerais qu'on me souvienne que derrière mes balaf se cachait une reine. Okay, whoo, what does balaf mean? You know what? Okay, I'm running out of time. I'm not going to say that one. I don't know what balaf mean, but I just like the fact she says that if this was my last track, like I said, my last episode, so behind all my bullshit, is you see them a queen. Yeah. And in other words, she says, t'aurais fait quoi si c'était ton dernier show? Oh, there it came. Okay. T'aurais fait quoi si c'était ton dernier show? Réclamer des millions d'euros ou réclamer des woyo yo yo? Moi, c'est que je réclame des woyo yo, pas le public m'acclame, mais qu'il chante avec moi. Oh, that's the part that I love, right? She says, yo, I don't do this shit for, I'm paraphrasing, right? She goes, I'm not doing this shit for fame. I'm doing this to sing. Mais qu'il chante avec moi nos douleurs communes. So we can sing together our common pain. Basically, the way I interpret that is, yo, people just saying, yo, you're saying shit that I'm feeling, sister. On est pareil, vous et moi. On fait péter le volume. All right, okay. I'm going to go. Okay, so, si c'était... What the fuck? Work with me, man. Oh, the battery's dead. Okay. Si c'était mon dernier, je t'aime, je dirais SOS. Trouveras-tu la bouteille que j'ai jetée dans la Seine? Okay, yeah. And then the last verse that I... Okay, the verse that I recited in French, right? She goes, si c'était mon dernier câlin, je le donnerais... Okay. Si c'était mon dernier, je t'aime, je dirais SOS. So, if this was my last I love you, I'd say SOS and hope that, yeah, like this podcast, yeah. Again, all these ideas came from listening to her verse. Trouveras-tu la bouteille que j'ai jetée dans la Seine? Yeah, I'm not sure what that means. La Seine is a city? But the point is, if I sent out this SOS in a bottle, would you get it? Would you receive it? Yeah, there's a historical thing about La Seine. There's a city called La Seine. And I think it has something to do. But I think that's where the invention of putting messages in a bottle came in. But doesn't matter. My point is, if I put out an SOS, would you get it? He goes, si c'était mon dernier câlin, je le donnerais à ma mère. If this was my last hug, I'd give it to my mom. Je lui dirais, j'étais bien, que c'était aussi bien sans père. She says, yo, our life together was fine. And it didn't matter to me that I grew up without it. I'm cool with the fact that I did not grow up with a father. Basically telling her mom, I'm not mad at you, à la Tupac. Si c'était mon dernier regard, I love this line. If it was my last regard, my last view, if the last time I could look out, I would stare at the moon, the same moon that lit up my pen and éclairer mes plumes, éclairer mes lectures. And made it clearer for me to read. and then the last two verses, if death came by only gave me 20 minutes, I'd sweat you, I'd give you peace, and I'd rap for 20 minutes, or for 10 minutes. All right. Okay. All right, gang, because my battery's dying. This concludes this episode. Spoke my mind. This was some truth, man. Really shit I ever said. Thank you for listening. Let's wrap this up, man. Yeah, thank you for listening. I really appreciate you paying attention. Again, holler at me, and you could just say the word ping with the message ping on Twitter, Instagram, or Threads at Shut Up Podcast. Through the handle at Shut Up Podcast. On TikTok at shutuppodcast.com, or go to the website shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast401@gmail.com. Again, RSS feed is on the website, so you can subscribe to this podcast. And as always, thank you for listening, and always remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. All right? La paix.